Hi, welcome to Our Life in the Trinity. I'm Linda Rex. I'm glad to have you with me today. We're going to talk about learning to walk, and we're specifically talking about walking in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We'll begin with prayer. We'll talk about the Word of God, read some scripture. We will have communion toward the end if you want to prepare for that now, and hopefully end in a benediction. And we'll still be speaking to each other at the end. How's that? Anyway, let's pray. Father, Son, Spirit, thank you that we can be together today and sit at your feet. And Jesus, we pray that we might hear from you and let your word be spoken. And any other word we don't need to hear right now, we just want to hear from you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for manifesting Christ in and through us. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, when my kids were little, we would go out on the farm and have to go in the barnyard to get our chores done. And when it starts raining, and it's rained for a week or two, walking the barnyard can be a real trick because it gets pretty muddy. And you can be walking along, and all of a sudden your boot just kind of suctions to the ground. And if you're not careful, you'll lift your foot right out of that rubber boot, and you'll be either face down in the mud on your knees or just simply standing there trying to figure out how to get your foot back in your boot without falling in the mud. So it was always a challenge when it got to be muddy time. And it kind of made me think about this whole thing about living in right relationship with God. You know, it can be kind of like walking through mud. You know, we can get stuck, or we just can't make any progress, or we just can't get it right. Or it just may be just this slow, slogging walk, and it just seems impossible. And we forget that it's not all up to us. It is up to Christ. Christ is the one that holds us in right relationship with God. He has done what is needed. He gives us his life, his right relationship with God by the Spirit. He holds us there in that place and is growing us up into the image of God in him. He is the one who's doing that by the Holy Spirit. And so we can find comfort in that and encouragement in that. And remember, it's not all up to us. And yet, there is this process God puts us through where we learn to walk the road in Christ, with Christ, following him. And there is a participation that we do in Christ by the Spirit. Now, when my children were very little, they would lay on the blanket on the floor, and that's about all they could do. Eventually, they were able to move themselves and roll over, and then eventually kind of work to get their legs underneath them. Their knees, you know, get up on their knees, and they'd rock back and forth and rock back. Then they'd spy a toy, and they'd try to figure out how to get from where they were to that toy. And it took practice. It took a little bit of effort on their part, in fact, a real struggle. But eventually, they could kind of squirm their way over there to get that toy. And eventually, they'd get to where they'd be crawling everywhere. And everything in the house had to move up another level. And then they would get to where they would grab a hold of the coffee table or the sofa and stand there, and they just kind of rock back and forth, and then they'd slide along the side of the sofa, you know, to try to walk. You know, they took practice, but eventually they got to where they could stand there without holding on to anything. And then they'd spy daddy or mommy on the other side of the room, and they would take a step. A very hesitant step, and sometimes they go straight on their bottom. But by practicing, eventually they would learn to walk. And see, if they never did anything, if they never tried, they would never have walked. They would have just laid there. But they tried. Now, I understand that some people, because of physical ailments or so on, never got past the laying there. And that's the sadness of our broken world. It breaks my heart, really. And I honor parents who still raise their children in those situations. But there are times, though, when we are able to walk, but we refuse to do the work it takes to learn something new. When we're, well, we'll be talking about this next week, but because we're new creation in Christ, we want to live in new ways, in the ways that are part of the resurrection life we have in Christ, not the way that died with Christ. And that takes practice. And so, but we need to remember always that Jesus holds us in right relationship with God and the Spirit. This isn't about trying to get right with God. This is simply living in the new kingdom realities which are in Christ. What does that look like? And let's start learning how to live like that. And so it's a different perspective when you look at it that way. You know, Paul in Romans had been previous to this, had talked about the gifts of the Spirit that God gives to people, and they're unique to each of us. And He gives them to us not for our personal benefit, but to bless others, to bless the body of Christ, and to bless the world in which we live. And He calls us to put those gifts to use in expressing God's love to others. It's not to make ourselves look good or to try to impress people with our spiritual giftedness or to try and show how close to God we are, aren't we great? That's not why God gives us the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. He gives them to us so that we can be a greater blessing to the whole, to the body of Christ, and to the world in which we live. So we're called to put the gifts of the Spirit to use. And one of the ways we open ourselves up to the Spirit is by practicing spiritual disciplines. Now, when people hear the word discipline, they get freaked out. Discipline, though, in proper usage, has to do with training. And we practice things, we train. When I was on the volleyball team, we trained, we had the discipline of training every time we got together so we could learn all the basics and practice them. So when we got in the game, we knew what we were doing, right? So we want to practice spiritual disciplines like things, and many people do prayer and Bible study and so on, but there are other things like contemplation, silence, serving, celebration, worship. Let me think, there's all kinds of forms of prayer. There is service to God and others. There's loving others in some way can be a way we open ourselves up so the Spirit can work in us and through us. So, but it has to do more with our posture before God, of remaining open and willing and allowing God to do what God wants to do with us and in us and through us. It's like we are there as God's, I don't know if it's a good word, but conduit or a tool, but God doesn't use us like a tool. I mean, God includes us. God allows us to be a part of what He's doing. And so, but we open ourselves up to that by allowing the Spirit. So, sorry, I'm getting carried away here because my mouse took off. So, we allow God's Spirit to live in us, flow through us, and express the love of God to others through us. as we grow in Christ. And but sometimes that takes practice. It takes learning to walk the way God wants us to walk. And so now we need to remember the difference here, and I'm trying to be clear about this. When we talk about spiritual disciplines, people right away think, well, I got to make myself a better person, you know, impress people by how religious I am. This is none of that. That's all inward. That's going this way, right? We want to go outward, and we want to be open to God and then allow God to flow through us, right? We want to be God-centered, open to whatever the Father wants to do. Remember that our dependency is upon God. Remember our weakness, and we want to be looking outward in service to God and others. So you want to remember those things. So anyway, going into what Paul is talking about today, what he's going to talk about are some ways in which we are open to the Spirit and we allow God to do what God wants to do in and through us. What is our life supposed to look like? And this is a part of our practice, practicing God's love and God's life. One day we're going to live in the kingdom of God. We might as well start practicing how to do that now, right? Okay, so let's look at this. Romans 12, 9 to 21 says, this is the New American Standard Bible. Let love be without hypocrisy. So our love, the love of God in Christ that flows through us to others, we want it to be genuine, authentic, real, not hypocritical. So that can be a challenge sometimes. We want to abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. And that's just the reality, is God's love flowing in us. We won't want anything to do with evil. We will only want to do what is good. Why? Because that's who we are. That's who God created us to be. That is his life in us, flowing into and through us into others. So verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And now, isn't that a challenge? Yeah, sometimes it's hard to let someone else always be first, isn't it? But give preference to one another. 11, not lagging behind in diligence. So there is something about being diligent that's a part of being God's child, right? We want to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. So what does that say? That says life as God's child is not going to always be easy. There's nothing that says just because you're God's and you belong to him, your life's going to be all hunky-dory. On the contrary, it might actually be more difficult than it ever was. And so, you know, this is the thing. We persevere. How do we persevere? Because God is in us and with us, and he's for us, and nothing can stand against the kingdom of God. Nothing can stand against Christ's reign. Christ is Lord of all. And so, and he lives in us, right? So we persevere, we hang in there, but that can take practice, that can take some effort, right? So we are devoted to prayer. Now, you and I both know, first of all, that takes perseverance right there. And it takes practice, because some of us aren't, you know, we don't know, what does it mean to pray? You know, what does that look like? We know the Lord's Prayer, and that's a good basis for your daily prayer. It's excellent. But we want to be devoted to prayer. That sounds like there is something about our relationship with God and being focused on our relationship with God. So loving God, here we're talking about loving God and loving others. That's what we're doing. This is our life in Christ. And these are some ways we practice that, right? Verse 13 says, contributing to the needs of the saints. practicing hospitality and the needs of the saints. The word saints, a lot of people don't realize that we're saints because of what Christ has done, not because we're good people, but because of what Christ has done. He has included us in his life with the Father and the Spirit, so he has made us saints. So, but we contribute to the needs of the saints. It's basically the body of Christ. We contribute to the needs. We help, we serve, we do what we can to help others. We practice hospitality. And that is a skill a lot of us have lost because we become very cocooned. And I know for me, it's a struggle. So, but here, Paul is encouraging us in our relationship within the body of Christ to truly love one another. And then he steps it up another level and he begins to say, you love your neighbor as yourself. That's more than just the people in your church or in your fellowship. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Ooh, now he's messing with us, right? So we bless those who persecute us. Bless and do not curse. We don't respond in kind. We do not respond in kind. We bless when... Why? Because who did that first, right? Jesus. That's his way of being. And he's given that to us. And so we practice doing that. We want to do that because that is who we are in Christ. Verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And notice, each of these things we're talking about are things that describe Jesus Christ and the way he lives and who he is. And so it's who we are. Jesus came and he wept with us. He rejoiced with us by coming in, taking on our human flesh to experience our human condition. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Did he need to? I mean, he didn't have to. Jesus wept. He shared our humanity in a very personal, real way. And still does, because he still bears our human, glorified human flesh in the presence of the Father. It says, be of the same mind toward one another. So Paul keeps calling him back to loving one another, being in unity, caring for one another in spite of their differences. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. And so he's basically telling us, quit with the over-under thinking. You know, the Trinity is three persons in one being who are distinct, equal, and yet one. And we're made in the image of this God to be distinct persons, equal, and in union, in love with one another. That's our identity. That's who we are. So there's no place for being haughty in mind, and there's no place for being so low that you're always the one who grovels. No, you're made in the image of God after his likeness. And to glorify him, and he values you very much, whoever you are. He goes on to say, do not be wise in your own estimation. So there's a proper humility. It's just basically seeing yourself, the truth of who you are in the presence of God, right? And God knows the truth about you. So just agreeing with him on that. He values you. But, you know, you're still his creature, right? Verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Never pay back evil to... Now, that's tough. Because what is our immediate human response is to give back what we're given, right? When someone is hateful and what they say, what's we sometimes comes out of our mouth, this is something just as bad or worse, because we're gonna not let them get away with that. So we practice, right? We practice not responding in kind. It does take practice. As we open ourselves to the work of the Spirit, as we begin to turn our face to Jesus and to let Jesus stand in that place where he takes the evil from them and he is the one who responds, not us. We instead receive from Jesus his love and offer his love to them. And that is hard. And we don't always do that. And because we're human, we're still learning, right? We're learning to walk, and that's part of the walk we're learning to do. So we want to be in Christ. We want to stay in that place where Christ is the mediator between us and our brother and sister. We want to respect what is right in the sight of all men. To always remember, we want to abhor evil, love good, right? We want to stick to God's way of being, right? Verse 18, if possible, and this is one of my favorite verses sometimes, if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. It says basically, you know, you want to be at peace with every person. But good luck with that, right? Because some people, it's like impossible. There, you try and you try and you try and you just can't. But as far as it depends on you, live at peace. Be at peace with all people. And Paul understands that sometimes with some people, no matter how hard you try, it's impossible. But we still, on our part, want to participate with Christ in his union and communion with others. And that is a real challenge. It takes practice to, on our part, be at peace. Even in the face of somebody who refuses to be at peace with us. That's where we take it to Jesus. And he's the one who mediates that relationship, and it becomes his issue, not our issue, right? Excuse me. And then Paul says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And we turn all of these hurts and difficulties over to Jesus Christ. And we say, Lord, we need you to deal with this. And this is where it's really a struggle, because God calls us to forgive. You know, Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7, you know, just keep forgiving. That's really hard to do, especially when you can't forget what happened. We need to not be the one who exacts vengeance. That's God's job. God, it's up to him. We give it over to him. We say, from now on, this is yours, Lord. I forgive. But sometimes we have to just say, Jesus, I know you want me to forgive. I need to forgive. I can't forgive. Would you please forgive through me? Would you please forgive in me and through me so I can forgive? And Jesus will work that out. He's very good about doing that. If we're willing. A lot of times we're just not willing. So what is our response to someone who is our enemy? This is where practicing our walk with Christ is a real challenge. Paul says, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wouldn't it be interesting in our world today if that's how people handled evil? It'd be real interesting, wouldn't it? And it would definitely be a challenge. But this is what Jesus did. Jesus came to his enemy, humankind, offered himself as our food. In that sense, he offered his body and his blood, giving us a drink of eternal life in himself. He overcame our evil on the cross. He overcame our evil with his total, complete goodness on the cross. Isn't that amazing? But that is the Christ who has given us himself by the Holy Spirit to live in us. And we want to live that out in our lives. We want to live Christ-centered, loving lives that look just like Jesus. That takes practice. It takes, you know, one day at a time. And it's something that we spend our whole life doing. It's a journey. It's a journey. It's not something that's going to happen instantaneously. And God calls us to love him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and being. Love our neighbors that are ourselves, whether they're part of the body of Christ or not. And the reason he calls us to that is what it looks like to be truly human, the way God created us to be. And that is the kingdom of God that we are a part of now in the spirit, and we will be a part of for all eternity. So we might as well begin now, practice now, right? Begin to learn how to do this. We want God's love to shine in us and through us, enabling us to love one another, to love our enemies as well as our friends, to overcome evil with good. We want God's love to be the one that shines, right? So we participate in what Christ is doing in our life by the Spirit, by practicing these Christ-like ways of living and serving others. And these descriptions that Paul gives in his epistles and some of the other epistles show are descriptions of what it looks like to live and walk the Christ-like life. And those are good things to study and learn about and say, okay, the way I'm doing this does not look like Christ. All right, Jesus, how do you want me to begin to live this out differently? And you begin to practice that. But we want to remember that it's in relationship, right? In relationship with God and others. We want to remember that it's God's Spirit in us being expressed through us as we're open to the Spirit. And it's a part of our celebration of God's life and love. We live every day. We remember that we live every day in Christ. Christ is in us. We are in Christ. Christ is in the Father. Our true life is hidden with Christ in God. We have this life that is ours, that is secure, that is sure, that it's going to last for all eternity, right? And we're learning to live that out right now. And we're learning to walk in God's ways, in the ways that will be our ways for all eternity. And we do that in Christ. So we come to the table, and this is also a celebration that we have and here on Our Life in the Trinity. We like to do it every week. And so we like to affirm the essentials of our faith, that we died with Christ, we rose with Christ, We share in his glory now and forever. And we're so grateful for all Christ has done and is doing right now by his Holy Spirit. And he's going to do when he comes, returns in glory in the new heavens, the new earth are brought about. So Jesus offers us himself. And this is one of the ways we practice receiving Christ. We say, and we practice what it is going to be like in the, okay, big word, eschatological or end time banquet in the new heavens, the new earth. We're practicing now our fellowship with Christ. So we receive these gifts he has given. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for offering your body and your blood, for living in us by your Spirit, and for making us one with your Father. Thank you, Father, for all your great love and all your good gifts. We receive all that you have given through Jesus and by your Spirit. Amen. So we take the bread in gratitude. Thank you, Jesus. And we drink the fruit of the vine. Thank you, Jesus. Now may our God, who overcomes evil with good and avenges us in his own death and resurrection, bless you, keep you, smile on you, and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. I do hope you have a good week. Come and see us again on Our Life in the Trinity. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we'll hope to see you again here. Take care.